ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, The Forest of Enjoyment, Text 32. I'll read it, and then we can repeat word after word. Kvachid drumvat aihi karteshu griheshu ramsyanyadha vanara suttadara vatsalo vyavayakshanaha. Kvachit, sometimes. Drumavat, like trees. And now in parenthesis, Prabhupada explains, as monkeys jump from one tree to another, the conditioned soul transmigrates from one body to another. Aihika artheshu, simply to bring about better worldly comforts. Griheshu, in houses or bodies. Rangsyan, delighting in one body after another, either in animal life, human life, or demigod life. Yatha, exactly as Vanaraha, the monkey, Suttadara Vatsalaha, very affectionate to the children and wife. Yavayakshanaha, whose leisure time is spent in sex pleasure. Translation. Just as a monkey jumps from one tree to another, the conditioned soul jumps from one body to another. As the monkey is ultimately captured by the hunter and is unable to get out of captivity, the conditioned soul, being captivated by momentarily sex pleasure, becomes attracted to different types of bodies and is engaged in family life. Family life affords the conditioned soul a festival of momentarily sex pleasure, and thus he is completely unable to get out of the material clutches. Purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.9.29, Vishaya Kalu Sarvata Syat. Bodily necessities, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending are all very easily available in any form of life. It is stated here that Vanara, monkeys, is very much attracted to sex. Each monkey keeps at least 2 dozen wives, and he jumps from one tree to another to capture the female monkeys. Thus, he immediately engages in sexual intercourse. In this way, the monkey's business is to jump from one tree to another and enjoy sex with his wives. The conditioned soul is doing the same thing, transmigrating from one body to another and engaging in sex. He thus completely forgets how to become free from clutches of material encagement. Sometimes the monkey is captured by a hunter who sells its body to doctors so that its glands can be removed for the benefit of another monkey. All this is going on in the name of economic development and improved sex life. Kvachit drumvat aihi karteshu griheshu rangsyanyadha vanarah suttadara vatsalo vyavayakshanaha. Just as a monkey jumps from one tree to another, the conditioned soul jumps from one body to another. As the monkey is ultimately captured by the hunter and is unable to get out of captivity, the conditioned soul, being captivated by momentarily sex pleasure, becomes attached to different types of bodies and is engaged in family life. family life affords the condition, so a festival of momentarily sex pleasure, and thus he is completely unable to get out of the material clutches. Om agyana timirandasya agyanandana shakmakaya chakshurun militam yenatas mai shri uruve namaha mukam karoti vacham pangom mangayate gini yat kripatam aham vande shri gurum dinatarinam. So this chapter is and these few chapters actually of these instructions of Jat Bharata depict the conditioned life in a very dark tones, and I was trying to remember if I read somewhere else such a description of the material existence in any other teachings, philosophy or religion, and I can't remember actually. What I remember was a scene from a movie where a newly wedded couple went to a big table where all the family members are seated together, and the father of the boy, the mother, she was so happy, and they were obviously Christians, but she was saying, "So we are gathered here, and it's such a wonderful time being united, and we're so happy, and we'll continue to be happy like that, and in heaven it will be just like that when we go there, just like that. We'll keep our family with the same bodies." Some of the Christian, at least denominations, they have this idea that we'll have the same bodies as the ones we have now. When we become resurrected, we'll get the same bodies. So they're saying, well, it will be just the same. So we're projecting that salvation or liberation means that whatever we experience here and our material happiness will be prolonged eternally in heaven. And in other words, we consider that the life in the material world is a happy life. There is nothing better. Even in heaven, it will be the same. If we can just continue it, that's heaven. And here we see Jad Bharata talking to Huvana, that Jayashishirana Gopina. Instead of, it's such a different way of looking at this forest. So, for one, this forest looks a very attractive place with birds chirping and nice flowers, and the breeze is coming, and wonderful scenes, and yes, it's just a suitable place to enter into it and walk and enjoy, especially romantic enjoyment. That's the point in these few verses here. That especially this type of attraction is most binding us to this material world. So, this is one viewpoint of the forest of material life. It looks like a very enchanting, romantic place. And here we see a description of a horror movie, not a romance movie. It's like you go inside and you think you'll be happy, and suddenly you are attacked by all kinds of ferocious animals, jackals and foxes and tigers and blood-sucking creatures. And then there is no any chance for enjoyment there. So here the metaphor continues comparing the condition. So with the monkeys in the forest who are jumping constantly from one tree to another, trying to enjoy, especially a sex life with many female monkeys. And if you have, and this is said here, they do that in their leisure time, Prabhupada says. So I remember in Vrindavan last time I was chanting for hours in different places, and sometimes just sitting in a temple, or like in this area where the 64 samadhis, and it's open air, it's not closed like now, it's Radha Damodar, completely closed, so no monkeys can come. But there it's free, so you can just sit down and the monkeys will surround you and do their business. If you sit peacefully, then you can just observe what's their life, because normally you see them in action. And if you're a victim, of course, you'll experience sudden, if you're carrying some bags with fruits, and sudden pull, and then you're freed from your bag. That's the easy way to get it. Otherwise, you can get a bullet. We were walking one morning in the parikrama, and then we just saw one big monkey went in front of a quite tall man and just demanded, you know, the bag. And he just gave first one, two banana, and the monkey took it and was like, wanted more, you know, he had to surrender the bag. So that's one side, but if you just observe them, how they live, you can see, you know, the male monkey walks with a few females, and the small kids, the monkey babies are jumping around. So, and constantly they're watching what's going on, what's the danger, and what are the dynamics of the group or whatever it is, the fighting, all the time they're fighting. And there is no peace at all. You know, there was not, just for a moment, I remember one was just trying to relax like that, and from minute to minute looking all the time if a rival is coming or something. So that's looked like horrible experience, but still, you know, the monkey thinks this is, I'm really here, you know, established very well. I have my female monkeys and I can enjoy whatever. Of course, I have to fight for it, but this is part of life. I will show how tough I am. And in many, many times you can see the fights, and they are really horrible. They have wounds all over their bodies, and it's a really appalling existence. That's the point here. So from one point of view, this material forest may look like a wonderful place, but actually it's the reality is if it's not a horrible place, it's a very sad place. And of course, we don't see that advertised because we want to say that actually we can live happy here. So all the, most of the novels and literature and you know, and dramas and movies, they describe some ideal situation of good relationships, especially romantic relationships. That's the most of the time the focus of the story, and usually there is a happy end. Otherwise, people won't buy the books or they won't watch the movies. I remember one time I was involved in one production of an American Hollywood movie, and the script came, and the script ended by, the story ended by, the hero died. I don't know the heroine, always there is a hero and heroine, but I think one of them or both of them die. So this is a very unusual ending for a Hollywood story, and then the producer, he was like, what is this? Nobody will buy my movie. So he changed the script, he changed the story. They're alive, happily, after they are alive and continue to live happily after that, forever. So so that's the usual story, but there is a genre which is called the realists, and there you can either see in books or in movies where they just, you know, depict ordinary life as it is. That's the whole point in this genre. You just observe how people live, and if you see that this type of or read or something, then usually it's a sad story. Always there is some sad story of people. Usually there are people who are in different families and different interactions, but they all suffered in some way or another. So it's a sad story. And even somehow or other, we have the good fortune or karma to live a decent life, more or less we can say, and have decent relationships, and don't get sick too often, and die peacefully. Still, the point is we will die, and that's the most sad think that whatever we have here, we'll lose it, and whatever is dear to us, we'll lose it. And unfortunately, because we want so much this type of happiness, so-called happiness, will be again given chance to pursue it. So that's the whole point when Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that material happiness is not real happiness because it has a beginning and an end. It's a very simple philosophical point, but people, it's very difficult. Sometimes people say, why you're so heavy on this life? You know, why you're so, it seems so pessimistic, negative, always criticizing this life, always pointing out. And why are you so obsessed with sex life? It's good. It's fun. What's the problem? I'm not harming anyone. You know? It's what's the problem? And the point is, it's not real because it has a beginning and it has an end. And okay, it may be a temporarily, momentarily festival, as Prabhupada explains it here, but it's still a festival. What's the problem? It's worth working for it, one may say. The point is that along with that goes with a package so much suffering due to just the nature of this body. You can't do much about it. This body will give you pain. There's no, and this mind will give you pain, and other people will give you, or living entities and nature will give you pain. So you can't avoid it. Any intelligent man or woman can see that. So therefore, Prabhupada quotes in the purport this important verse from 11th canto, from this section of Bhagavatam called Uddhava Gita, where Lord Krishna instructs his dear friend and devotee Uddhava. And this verse is the one where, you know, there is part of Uddhava Gita when Krishna instructs Uddhava by relating a story about the Avadhuta Brahmana, of one Avadhut mendicant who was just walking very happily in the world, naked, but quite healthy and happy. So there was a king, a famous king, the son of Marachiyati, Marachiyadu, who saw and observed this man, and he noticed, hey, this, although, you know, he looks like a crazy fellow, he is quite happy and healthy, and he inquired from him, what is the key for this state? And then so this Avadhuta Brahmana started instructing him, and he said, actually I learned to live like that by observing the world, and seeing many and getting many instructions. He said, I had 24 gurus from which I learned how to live like this. So there are different gurus from, you know, sun, earth, the wind, and then there are all kinds of animals, python and the insects, the wasp, and so many things. But the last one, guess who is the one? It's his body. His body is the last guru. And this verse, which Prabhupada quotes, is about that. So he realizes, well, this body will fall apart, is falling apart all the time, and eventually will drop dead. So what's the point? What is the lesson here? What can I learn from this, from observing the temporary nature of my body? And then he says, well, vishaya kalu sarvata syat. Vishaya means a sense enjoyment or bodily pleasures. You know, this body, what can it give? Well, it can give me some kind of pleasure, but this is available in any other form of life. Okay, in any other, I can observe that. But what is not available in the other forms of life, what is not available is philosophical inquiry about the Absolute. You cannot develop God consciousness in the other form of life. So this body, and he says, is a valuable gift, although it's a temporary. So although it's temporary, it will fall apart. And it's troublesome, it's a great gift. Why? Because one can use it to develop God consciousness. And he says, therefore one should labdva, he started like that, once attaining it, this rare human form of life, which one gets after many, many, many births, one should engage immediately. He's using a word like now. Now, without any hesitation, one should engage immediately in cultivation of spiritual knowledge so that one can free oneself from the clutches of material existence. So that's the his realization. And that's, of course, the instructions of all the great saints and Krishna himself in many places. And that's why Bhagavatam emphasizes this point that this material existence is a dangerous place. It's not a place where we can find what we're looking for, and we're always looking for something. Otherwise, we wouldn't be propelled to act. There is some reason which always drives us to act, to look for something, to ask questions. You know, the whole philosophy and literature is developed. Why? Because there is some questioning about our existence. There is some lack of something we're looking for. And the basic question is, like, there is this story of Jnanananda Prabhu, who before he joined, he was tormented by one question. He couldn't find any answer by reading any kinds of books. So he met the devotees and they told me, our guru is coming to San Francisco, you can maybe ask him this question. So he went to see Prabhupada, and when they met, he said, Prabhupada, can I ask you a question? I said, yes. What is the meaning of life? What's the point of all? And Prabhupada thought for a second. He said, the goal of life is to be happy. And then he was like struck. Yes, such a simple answer. The goal of life is to be happy. But the point is, we can't be happy with this material body. This material body is so limited. It cannot give us, it cannot quench the thirst we have for happiness. We have a very great thirst. And it's like, Vaishnava acharyas compare that to, like, you're in the desert and you're walking for many, many hours under the hot sun, and there is no water, and you're dying from thirst, and suddenly, you know, you get a drop of water and you think, wow, that's it. But nothing, you know, yeah, it's water, it's something, but it will not quench your thirst. So the same thing, you know, in this material forest of existence, like we see here, we think we'll get the happiness. We think we are going to become happy by the endeavors we make, but it will not work. It will not work. Ultimately, we'll be frustrated, and unless we free ourselves from the attachments which keep us here, especially the one mentioned here, the attraction between the different genders, unless we free ourselves from that attraction, that will guarantee us another existence in this world. So the question will be, of course, what is the way to solve this problem, and of course, or how to develop God consciousness so that we are freed from that bodily consciousness. And this Prabhupada gives another quote from Bhagavatam, again 11th, or actually it's 12th canto, where he says that, this is a part from the 4th canto, we should understand the problems of this material life, and we should desire to go to that ultimate place where there is no suffering, and when there is eternal happiness and bliss, Ananda. These are the places known as Vaikuntha, and we especially should be interested in going to the highest realm in Vaikuntha, Goloka Vrindavana. And how we should endeavor to do that. And then he quotes this verse from 12th canto that in Kali Yuga we are very disadvantaged. Kali Yuga is full of Kaler Dosha. It's full of faults. We are very full of quarrels, full of troubles and fights, and we ourselves, as first canto Bhagavatam, we see description of Kali Yuga. We are manda sumanda matayo. We're lazy. We're not interested in spiritual life, and we, above all, we are very unfortunate. Our lifespan is short, etc., etc. So these are all faults of the age, and we all experience them. But there is one Mahaguna, as the verse says, there is one great advantage or quality of this age, and that is Kirtanya Krishnasya. It's like just by a very simple thing, by glorification of Krishna, Param Vrajet, you, as Prabhupada says, you go to this supreme place, Param Vrajet, very, very easily. Just by the process of devotional service, starting by hearing and chanting Shravanam, Kirtanam, and remembering Krishna. So taking this devotional service, the Bhakti Yoga process, and seriously chanting the holy name of Krishna with feeling and with desire to attain the mercy of Krishna, that's the only way that we can realize the reality of this world, and desire to go back to the real world, the spiritual world. And as Prabhupada mentions in the summary chapter of this 14th chapter, Prabhupada says that we can't get ourselves free from this clutches of Maya. We are just completely bound. And only by the merciful influence of the Vaishnavas we can do that. So, yes, the process is chanting the names of Krishna, but we should remember this should be done in the association of devotees, because that will elevate us very quickly. That will free us from the attachments of this world. Just like the crystal changes its color according to the where it's placed by association. So we will change our desires, our wishes, our heartfelt longings according to our association. So if you want to develop desires opposite to the desires described, the monkey desires described here, we should associate with those devotees who are advanced and free. And then it doesn't matter whether one is like Bhaktivinoda Thakura, many places says, grihe tako, vane tako, bole tako. Whether you are a family man or a man in the forest or a sannyasi or renounced, just chant the names of the Lord. It doesn't matter. Or like Narottam Das Thakur, again, he says, whether one is a family man or renounced man, if he calls out the name of Gauranga, I want to embrace his lotus feet. So then if we become devotees, and then we try to engage everything in the service of Krishna, then this description doesn't apply. In other words, one can't be, it doesn't mean that family life is only this horror forest. It can become a Vaikuntha or Goloka, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in this song, Shuddha Bhakata. You know, go. What was the verse? He says, "When I see the worship of Radha and Krishna in a home of devotees, I see this place as Goloka directly." So we can transform this forest from a horrible place to actually the spiritual world, provided we put Krishna in the center and we serve him with all our endeavors and whatever we have in our possessions. So I will stop here. Thank you for your attention. Are there any comments or questions? Shishi Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.